So we're going to have our reading now. And this is a reading that is very familiar to most of us. But perhaps there may be someone here today that hasn't heard it. My prayer is that you hear it for the first time, afresh. So let's just pray as we prepare to hear God's word and to pray for David as he brings it to us. Heavenly Father, God of all compassion and grace and mercy, we thank you for your life-giving, life-breathing word. We thank you that your word is living and active, and it's able to get to the deepest parts of our lives. And so I pray, Lord, that you would, as David opens your word, you would open us to receive it, and that your Spirit would work through this wonderful story into our lives. Come and speak to us, Lord, and show us what you need to show us. In Jesus' name, amen. So as David reads this, I just encourage you to adopt a very comfortable and open posture. You may like to close your eyes as you hear the words. You may like to sort of read them on the screen, but do what's comfortable, but enter in to the story and let's see what God says to us.
Well, the reading is, as Chris said, a very well-known one, and I was very happy to be asked to read this. It's my favourite story in the Bible, and it's from Luke chapter 15. Now, the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him, that's Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. And the passage goes on to tell us the parables of the lost sheep and the lost coin. But we go down to verse 11. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, Bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. "Your brother has come," he replied, "and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound." The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him." "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because the brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found."
It's a beautiful story, that, quite a powerful one, isn't it? And I think in one way or another, we can relate to one of those characters. Maybe we can relate to one more than another. Some of you may be able to relate very quickly to the younger son. You think, that was me, that is me. That still is me. Maybe some of you can relate to the older son and think, yep, I totally get where he's coming from. I'd be angry too. Maybe you can relate to the parent who's lost a child physically to their own ways and is desperate for them to return. I wonder which of the characters you relate to at the moment. You see, I think this parable helps us to think about how we relate to God as our Father, but it also helps us to think about how He relates to us. Let's have a little think about the younger son. So when the younger son said, "Father, give me my share of the inheritance," that was quite a big deal. It wasn't just a bank transaction, as perhaps maybe it would be today. But essentially, what that younger son was saying to his father is, "I want you as good as dead. I want my share of the inheritance now. I don't want to wait until you're dead. I want it now." And obviously, we know what he did with that share. He went off, he lived it up, he had a great time. Until he didn't. And interesting, isn't it, how quickly people disperse once the money runs out. And he finds himself on his own. And the irony of this story as well is that as a Jewish lad, he ends up working with the pigs. And the pigs were seen as unclean. They didn't touch them, they weren't kosher. And yet he ends up going from great wealth to feeding the pigs. and he's starving. So much so that he even wants the food the pigs are eating. Can you imagine getting to that point of starvation that you are seriously considering that? Obviously, we've got someone here, Andy, who deals with pig food. Is it worth eating, Andy? He'll say, oh, there's so many nutritions in there. I make sure of it. It's good, actually, if you eat the pig food. You'll do better than good. So talk to Andy afterwards if you're interested in eating pig food. But there's this moment, isn't there, where the younger son is like, he comes to his senses. We've all had those moments, haven't we? Where you just find yourself going, what am I doing? Like, how did I get to this point? What am I doing? Sometimes you need a trusted friend to come alongside you and just go, what are you doing? Can you not see what you're doing? You know, what has happened? But he comes to this reality check. Because what he does, and do you know what does it? It's his father. He thinks about where he was and where he is now. And he thinks, even the servants in my father's household get food. They get more than enough. And look at me. I'm not getting any food. In fact, I want to eat the pig's food. That's how desperate I am. And so you can begin to see that in his head and in his heart, there's a turning happening, a shifting is happening. And I would like to say that this is what repentance means. Repentance is a turning around. And that's what's taking place here. He's in a situation going in a very dire way, down a very dark and dangerous road, where ultimately he's going to starve to death. And he thinks, this is not what I want. And he turns himself around and he starts heading back to his father. And the speech is interesting that he prepares, isn't it? You know, he's got this whole speech prepared about how, come on, let's face it, it's going to be awkward, isn't it? You know, he's as good as wished his father dead. He's taken the money. He's lived it up. He's coming back looking a right old state. A lot of shame will be brought not only on him, but on his household. And actually, even more shame will be brought to his father yet again. It's amazing in this story, the amount of shame that the father endures. Quite willingly, I might add. So he heads home. And as he heads home, he's got this speech prepared. Because let's be honest, you have to have a speech when you've done something like that, don't you? You've got to think, what on earth am I going to say? What can I say to make it up to my dad? Anyway, so he's got this whole speech prepared, hasn't he? And then it says, but while he was still far off, a long way off, his father saw him. Daddy. Yeah, Jenny, daddy. He saw him. Which makes me believe that if he was a long way off. I don't think they had binoculars back then. But he's looking. He is searching. He's curtain twitching. He is wanting to see his son come over the hill. He sees him a far way off. And he is filled with compassion for him. So much so that he runs to greet his son. You don't do that if you are a well-respected member of that society, particularly a gentleman who owns a great deal of land and is quite wealthy. You do not run in public. Disgraceful behavior. What is he doing? Scandalous. But he doesn't care. This is his son. And so he runs and he throws his arms around him and he kisses him. And you know, the son, he starts, doesn't he? Father, I've sinned against you and I've sinned against God. I'm not worthy to be called your son. I read this, and I don't know about you, but it is like the father's not even listening to the speech. It's almost like, yeah, whatever. And he just puts the robe over him. He puts the ring on his finger. He puts the sandals on his feet. And he goes, look, guys, my son is home. He was dead, but he's alive again. He was lost, but he is now found. Come on, let's celebrate. Let's have a party. Is that the kind of thing you think of when you think about God? When you think about how he might receive you, do you think of him like that? Someone who will embrace you, regardless of who you are and what you've done, will embrace you with such love and then want to throw a party. And Jesus says in Luke 15, he's got the parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, and the parable of the lost son. But he says, you know, when one sinner repents, that turns around, turns back to God, there is a party in heaven. Isn't that amazing? I'm really glad. I don't think many of you are showing a great deal of enthusiasm there, but I am really glad about that. And I am glad that in heaven, there's going to be some parties. Don't we like a party? Yeah? Okay, you're not dead. You're alive. Remember that. Okay, so this is good. You know, we heard at the beginning, Psalm 103, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Our sin and our mishaps and the stuff we get ourselves into is great. And I think if we were to list them on the screen, we'd be here for a while. No, not for some of us, Russell, I know. Some of us more than others. But where our sin abounds, it says in Scripture, God's grace abounds all the more. This is the love of the Father who embraces the Son and is oblivious to his well-prepared speech. Max Lucado, I think it was, although I might have this wrong. I think it's Philip Yancey. He said, there's nothing we can do to make God love us more, and there's nothing we can do to make God love us less. When we repent and when we turn back to the Father, he not only greets us, he runs towards us and embraces us wholeheartedly. And there's a party in heaven when we do. Let's have a look at the older son, shall we? His reaction to this shows his true colours, does it not? Listen to this. Thank you, Russell. Listen to this. All these years, he says, I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. That's telling, isn't it? It's a whole lot there. I mean, a counsellor would have a right old time unpicking some of that. That's very interesting. Basically, what he's saying is, I actually haven't been doing this because I love you. I haven't been serving you because I love you. I feel like a slave. I'm doing this because I want to get something out of it. I am doing it because it's duty. But is it devotion? Who knows? Maybe it started like that, but maybe it became the opposite. There's a sense in which the older son is saying, what I do should give me some credit. And I'm sure none of us can relate to that, can we? That if I say the right things and I do the right things and I'm la 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 la, then God owes me. He should be happy to have me in his kingdom because I'm a goody-goody and I do all the right things. I've earned my place. But that's not how God's kingdom works. You see, the trouble with that is it's transactional. It's not relational. It's, I'll do this for you if I get that from it. And if we love people like that, then that is not love. We love because we love them. If we get something back in return, great. But we don't do it for what we get back in return. And this is what the older son seems to be doing to me. Trying to place the father in his debt. See the contrast. And he goes on to say about the younger son, this son of yours. Have you noticed what he's done there? Again, a counselor would have great fun with all of this. But what he's done here is he's disassociating himself from his brother. He's not saying this brother of mine. No, he's totally rejected his brother. It's this son of yours. I don't want anything to do with him, and neither should you, is what he's saying. Do you remember a couple of weeks ago we looked at Jonah? Jonah's a bit of an older son. You remember how reluctant he was to do the job he'd been called to do? And then when Nineveh repented, this great city that was, let's be honest, brutal and horrid and very sinful, but when they repented, he couldn't rejoice in that. What did he do? He went and sulked. He got angry. And what did God do? He came out and spoke to him. Tried to persuade him to see the bigger picture. And those words that we hear in the parable are like the words essentially that Jonah hears. My son, all I have is yours. Why are you angry? This brother of yours was lost, but he's found again. We should celebrate. This is good news. But like the story of Jonah and like the parable of today, we're left not knowing whether the eldest son joins the party. We don't know if he does, do we? And you remember my challenge to you when we looked at Jonah, was that actually there's pride and prejudice in all our hearts. There will be people, perhaps, who we feel do not deserve God's forgiveness, who don't deserve to be welcomed into his family. And God's saying, that's not the way to think. And actually, it's all about grace. If you're part of the family, then why can't they be? You didn't earn your place in this family. It was a gift of grace. You see, this parable, sometimes called the lost son, I think it was actually the older son that was most lost. And that's a hard pill to swallow. And some of us may be finding that really uncomfortable because we relate most to the eldest son. But Jesus told this story because the Pharisees, the religious elite of his day, were looking down on the people that Jesus was hanging out with, the sinners, the tax collectors. And he wanted to show them they're part of the family. I have come, he said, to seek and save the lost. He's come to seek and save the younger and the older. All people. All people. Whether we more readily relate to the younger son and his sins, or whether we relate to the older son and his sins, we're all sinners. We are all in need of God's grace, God's love. We all need to repent, turn back to God, to remember that it's about what he has done for us through Jesus dying on the cross for us, to welcome us back into his family. It's what he has done, not what we have done. It's a gift. It's grace. So before we come to the table, we're going to just have a time of confession and worship. So let's just pray for a moment. Psalm 51 says this: "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." Just give a moment in the silence for you to confess what the Lord may have stirred in your heart this day. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on all those who fear him. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful message today, this story that's so rich, so pregnant with life, so abounding in love. Lord, we thank you for the wonderful image, the true image it shows of you, our Heavenly Father. And we thank you that when we turn back to you, you welcome us with open arms, whoever we are, whatever we've done, wherever we're from. Lord, we thank you for your abounding love and grace and mercy. Help us, Lord, to extend love and not judgment towards our fellow brothers and sisters, and towards those who we would see as sinners. Help us, Lord, not to judge, but to love and receive them as you receive us. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for Jesus. And Jesus, we pray today that you would continue to seek and save the lost amongst us, in our community, in our city, in our nation. Seek and save the lost, we pray. But start with me.